Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome back to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast. This is Sean Haney from realagriculture.com. In episode 10 of Mind Your Farm Business, we're going to talk about using financial ratios. Okay, so I know, financial ratios, that's kind of accountant's thing to do. But as a farmer, accounting ratios or financial ratios can really, really provide you with some management guidance. What needs to change in my farm operation to make sure that for the long term or even the short term, I'm going to have the opportunity to be successful. So in episode 10, we talked to Larry Martin. Now, Larry Martin really is an expert in the use of financial ratios in agribusiness and in primary agriculture. So I really had a couple questions for Larry. First of all, why are financial ratios even important at all? Also, are there certain ratios that are more critical for agriculture than others? And we have a deep discussion in that area, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. And also, what are some of the misconceptions about financial ratios? What is sort of the problem or one of the issues or some of the issues that farmers tend to run into when they're actually trying to apply the theory of financial ratios in farm management? So there you go. I really think you're going to enjoy episode 10 of Mind Your Farm Business. Thank you again to RBC for being the sponsor of Mind Your Farm Business. And I hope you enjoy episode 10. We're joined right now on realagriculture.com for the Mind Your Farm Business podcast by Larry Martin. Larry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, Larry, thanks for joining us. Larry, today we're going to look at financial ratios, but before we do that, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have a PhD in agricultural economics. I was at one time chair of the then Department of Agricultural Economics and Business at the University of Guelph. I started and was CEO of the George Morris Center for a number of years, and I left there a number of years ago. And I'm now one of the principals in a company called Agri-Food Management Excellence, and we provide management training for farmers and people in the ag-food business, so input suppliers and food companies and that sort of thing, much of which actually has to do with financial management.
Well, perfect. So we've definitely have the right guest for the topic of financial ratios, it sounds like. Glad you could join us today. Larry, let's start at 100,000 feet. Why are financial ratios important?
Well, I would say they're important for at least two reasons. I'm going to say three. One is that they obviously tell you what your financial position is and how healthy, in a way, in a sense, your financially healthy your business is. Secondly, they can be very helpful in diagnosing where you've got problems when you've got them. And thirdly, that this is kind of the other side of the same question. If you've got problems, they can provide you with benchmarks to help you figure out whether you're solving the problem. So I see them as, you know, they show you where you've been, they show you where you got a problem, and they show you whether you're or not you're correcting the problem, and hopefully they help you figure out how to correct the problem.
And when you talk to farm clients, do you find that the information that a ratio provides is always used correctly, or there's misconceptions when applying ratio information?
Actually, a bigger problem that I find is that no two accountants seem to ever be able to put the financial statements together the same way. And so it is really difficult for people to figure out what numbers out of their financial statements they should be using to come up with financial ratios. You know, there's some things that are fairly easy, that are fairly consistent. You can usually get a, you know, very long-term return on assets or return on equity. And in the very short term, you can figure out whether you've got a current ratio problem, a liquidity problem. But the production stuff and so forth, generally, most people haven't got a clue what to use. And from my experience, most of the time, accountants don't give you the right information.
It's always hard to make decisions when you don't have the right information from the get-go.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I don't want to say it's the farmers who don't know. It's the fact that they're not getting the right information to do what I think they should do to figure out where they are.
So a lot of times in agronomy, we focus on macronutrients versus micronutrients. In the case of financial ratios, Are there macro ratios that are kind of like the base ones that we really need to hone in and focus on? And and try to make the right decisions based on them before we get off onto page 5 of the appendancy, some brand new creative quirky ratio that is kind of the new trend. What are some of those base ratios that people in ag should be focusing on?
Well, I start with 5 ratios that are the ones that give me the best picture of where a farm is. And none of them, only one of them, well, none of them are actually unique to agriculture, but the benchmarks on some of them are unique. They're all just generally well-known financial ratios, just can't get the data most of the time. So let me start with them. To find out if you've got a short-term problem, you're going to want to look at something like your current ratio. There are various ways to do this, but current ratio is your current assets over current liabilities. If your current assets are greater than your current liabilities, that's a good thing. That means you got enough current, and that's liquid funds. So this will be cash and accounts receivable, inventory, and so forth. You got enough liquid or near liquid funds to be able to deal with your short-term liabilities. If that ratio is 0.6, that means you got more liabilities than you got assets. That means you're in problem. And a problem, if it's 2 or more, you're probably in pretty good shape. So that's the first one I'd look at. In the very long term, return on equity is probably as good as any. But by the time you get around to doing your return on equity, it's really a long-term, it's a long-term thing, and it's not going to help you very much with your management decisions, but it does certainly tell you how good of investment your operation is. In agriculture, it's got some measurement problems, but we'll come back to that probably a little bit later. The other 3 ratios are ones that they're all related, but I find them really useful in understanding and diagnosing whether you've got problems. And the first of those would be what we call the gross margin ratio. That's basically your revenue, your sales or your revenue, minus your cost of goods sold, which in a grain or crop farm would be the cost of fertilizer, the cost of seed, the cost of chemicals, that sort of thing. It's the cost of the material you're buying that turn into something that's going to be of value. So I took that cost of goods sold off of my revenue, and then I get a gross margin, and I divide that back into the gross revenue. And for what we find is for grain farms and a lot of livestock operations, but certainly not feedlots, but lots of livestock operations, that ratio should be around 65% or more. And it's really good. If it's way less than 50%, it means that you've got something, you're having some problem with either your yield, you're paying too much for your inputs, you're not getting enough of your outputs, but it's a very helpful one. In horticulture, I haven't got a lot of data on this, but my experience is that ratio should be higher, around 80%, because of the fact that you're normally growing such high value crops. So you're going to have higher labor costs, which aren't taken out of that ratio, than the livestock and craft guys are. The second one is what we call the contribution ratio, which is the difference between gross margin and your operating expenses, which is your labor costs, the cost of operating your machinery and equipment, and that means fuel, lubrication, repairs and maintenance. It does not include depreciation. Land rent would be in there. Those are the major things that would go into that category. And I'm going to turn it around and talk about it the other way instead of the contribution rate margin. Again, on grain and livestock farms, we want to see that cost be somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15% of, maybe, or 15 to 20% of your sales, with the horticulture operations, you would expect that set of costs to be a higher percentage. And then the last one is what I call operating efficiency ratio, and it's your operating income, which is the technical term that everybody talks about is EBITDA. It's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. So it's all of your operating costs. So it takes off the cost of goods sold, it takes off those operating expenses, but it also pays your, it takes off if you're paying yourself as a as a manager, or you're paying managers, or it's your office expenses, your insurance, those things, those kinds of things come off. And again, for most farms, we expect that if they're really good, they're going to be in the 35% range or higher. So when I, in fact, that's actually the one that I look at first, because if that ratio is in the 15 to 20% range, I know there's a problem someplace in their operations. If it's in the, you know, I can go to people in the same industry, and one of them might have a 60% operating efficiency ratio, and one of them has a 20% operating efficiency ratio. So I know it's not an industry problem; it's a management problem for the one that's got the 20% operating efficiency ratio. So those are the ones that I think really get at your. I'm going to actually add one more if I can.
Go ahead.
How to diagnose, to understand and diagnose how well you're doing with your actual operations. I will add one more, so I'm going to make it six instead of five. And that is what a lot of people look at is debt to equity, to figure out whether you're over leveraged or have too much debt. I don't find that very useful myself, and for a whole bunch of reasons. So what we look at is debt to operating earnings, or debt to EBITDA, using that term that I just had a minute ago. So your debt over your earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. For many businesses, people will say, bankers will say, for example, that ratio shouldn't be more than a 2 or 3 to 1, 2 or 2.5 to 1. So in other words, what it says is if your total debt is more than 2.5 times your operating earnings, then you've probably got too much debt. It's going to take you a long time to pay it off. Okay, and therefore you're in a risky position. In agriculture, the average ratio is around 5 in Canada. It's about 2.5 in the U.S. But bankers are willing to go with it being higher in Canada for a number of reasons, and I'm okay with that. But when I see somebody come in at 16 to 1, you know, basically it says it's going to take me 16 years to pay off my debt. If I don't do anything except take my operating earnings, I don't pay interest, I don't pay my taxes, I don't pay myself for ownership, and I don't reinvest in anything, it's going to take me 16 years to pay off my debt. And that's a little bit highly leveraged, I would say. Okay? So those are the six ratios that I start with.
I'm glad you mentioned debt to equity, and you've sort of switched it to debt to EBITDA. And I understand. I think I understand why. The difference is that in the debt to equity situation, you're counting, like, say, the increase in land value. Whereas debt to EBITDA, yeah, you're actually looking at what is the business generating for earnings.
Exactly. That is exactly the reason that I for the difference, or for why I like to look at it. Because, you know, as I like to say to people, if you got a whole bunch of land and you got a whole bunch of debt, you've incurred a whole bunch of debt to buy a bunch of land or something else, there's only three ways you can pay it off. One is you pay it off from the earnings that you get from it. The second one is you got a rich uncle. Or thirdly, you're going to have a sale.
Yeah.
and you know, when you look at a farm that's got a 16 to 1 debt to EBITDA ratio, and they've got maybe a 16% operating efficiency ratio, you know, my first reaction is you're going to have a sale. There's no way that you can possibly continue like this. You're incurring way too much debt for how much your assets are giving you in terms of returns.
So a lot of our listeners are going to hear the six you just outlined, Larry, and a lot of them are going to be familiar with some of the numbers, and they're going to say, yeah, that's about where our current ratio is. That's good. Check. But let's just jump back to debt to equity for a second. A lot of our listeners are going to have that as a covenant on their loan with their financial institution.
Yeah.
So why is that? And frequently current ratio is as well. So those are kind of the two main ones a lot of times that are the covenants. Why is debt to equity still used as a covenant?
I have no idea. I really don't. I was on the board of Ridley Canada until we sold it to Altec here a few months ago. And it was a really interesting company because it had almost no debt. Last year we refinanced our whole debt facility, and there was a covenant on it. I can't remember exactly what the covenant was, but it was debt to EBITDA. They didn't care about debt to equity. And I guess the reason they do use debt to equity is because despite the fact lenders tell you that they only lend on the basis of cash flow, what that suggests to me is they're actually lending on the basis of assets. And so if your lender is concerned in your covenants with debt to equity, you're basically saying, you know, if you fail, I'm really concerned about whether you have enough assets to pay me. Whereas from a management perspective, what I want to know is, can I pay off my debt from my operations? And to me, debt to EBITDA is a much more useful tool for operating management or operations management than debt to equity is. And it really doesn't tell me anything other than, you know, do I have enough assets to if I fail, to cover my debt?
Yeah. So when somebody turns on ROB TV, they're likely to hear stock analysts or CEOs talk about internal rate of return, IRR, right? So our internal hurdle rate, all these fancy terms that all mean the same thing. From a return on equity standpoint, why is that one that maybe necessarily isn't, you don't hear that mentioned a lot in agriculture?
Yeah. Okay. How do I respond to that one? I think you're going to see it more frequently. To me, internal rate of return is really about, it's not necessarily about your, it's not the same kind of ratio. It's asking the question, if I make an investment, is it going to pay me enough for me to make the investment? So if I'm going to go look at a tractor or harvester or something like that, if I'm using internal rate of return, what I'm trying to do is to figure out what is this asset going to return to me over the next number of years relative to what it's going to cost both to buy it and to operate it. But I want to take the net returns over the number of years and bring them back to a current value. So I'm going to discount it for inflation and that sort of thing. And so it's really, to me, internal rate of return is really all about, if I'm going to make an investment, should I? Will it give me a high enough return? So I might want an internal rate of return of, say, let's say 11%. And so I go through that process, and if it gives me 15, it says, okay, then it's above my hurdle rate of 11%. So that's one thing you do with it. You use it to evaluate whether you're going to make an investment, and then after the fact, you figure out whether, in fact, your analysis was correct. So you're figuring out whether your investment really paid. So to me, it's about managing assets, if you will. So it's a very specific thing. Whereas those other ratios are more about the business, the overall business itself. Okay. Am I making sense of that?
Yeah, very much so. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah.
So a lot of our listeners are going to be producing likely an annual financial statement that they would hand into their lender. Some may even be doing it quarterly, and some of our larger listeners may be doing a monthly internal statement they're providing to their lender. How often should you be looking at the numbers when dealing with some of these ratios that you've suggested?
Well, it depends a little bit on the type of farm you have. I'm on the board of directors of a company that does a lot of greenhouse product. There's no way I would ever allow that company not to have monthly statements. We have to have monthly statements to know where we're going. But that's a company that's continuously selling something all the time. If I'm in the beef business, if I'm in the pig business, I want to have monthly statements. In the grain business, you know, your monthly statements aren't going to tell you a whole lot. So I'm probably going to be way more interested in quarterly there, because of the fact that you're not generating cash flow. You've got very seasonal cash flows going out, and depending on what your marketing plan is, for pretty limited periods of time when you're having cash flows coming in. So quarterly might be enough there. I can't imagine ever not having anything beyond quarterly for almost any business. So monthly or quarterly, and for a lot of operations, again, if you're in, you know, a continuous operation like greenhouse or year-round vegetables of some sort, or horticulture of some sort, or pigs or chickens or something like that. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that I want to measure weekly, for that matter, at least in terms of my operations.
Larry, in terms of financial ratios, is there anything that we necessarily haven't covered or should be talking about in this episode?
Well, the only thing I would say that we haven't really mentioned is, I talked about, for example, the gross margin ratio. So let's say that I'm on a grain operation and my gross margin comes out to be 55% instead of 65%. So I'm saying to myself, okay, if 65% is the standard here, then what's my problem? And then the question becomes, how do you go behind those ratios to figure out what the problem is? And even more generally, if my operating efficiency ratio is 23% and my standard is 35%, now I want to go back and figure out where are my problems. And so that's why I like to break it out into the gross margin, contribution margin, and operating efficiency ratio, because I'll start with the operating efficiency ratio and say, okay, if it's 23%, let's go do the gross margin. All right, so it's 70%. So that's pretty good on my farm. I might be able to tweak some things up there to make it better, but I'm now going to go look at my contribution margin, and in fact, I discover that my labor costs are way higher than they should be, okay? Because that's where we go with it. So we drill down, I guess, to try to figure out what's causing the problem that ends up with a lower lower operating efficiency ratio than I really want to get. And what I find when I work with farmers, I can't generalize very well what those other ratios are. What I really like about this approach is it tells me where to start drilling down. And you can, once you get into the components of one of these, like, you know, I've been associated with an operation whose gross margin was way too low. There have been a couple of them. In one case, they were having consistent problems with yields. Okay, and as we drilled down, we figured out where those yield problems were, and they started doing some capital investment. It was a greenhouse, by the way. Did some capital investment to make sure the light got right for the product, and that increased the yields. In another case, the yields were fine. Problem was that they're selling a product that consistently just isn't returning enough money. So the question then becomes, should I grow something different in that greenhouse than I'm growing? Because, you know, if I've got 4 years in a row, my yields are fine, my fertilizer costs are fine, my transplant costs are fine, and so forth, and I still got a lousy gross margin efficiency or gross margin ratio, then maybe I better start asking my question if I'm producing the right product in here. So to me, the six ratios I start looking at are basically the way I go about figuring out if and where there are problems, and then we can get behind it and drill down and get into the detail of where we need to understand what we should focus on. It makes no sense to focus on your yields if, in fact, you got good yields already, and your problem is too high labor costs, for example.
When a lot of people drill down, though, and they look at those components that make up, you know, that help compute that ratio, that number, mm-hmm. it does require some honesty and a little bit of self-discipline not to go into the, well, yeah, but that number's that way because of this. We need to throw that out. If we threw that number out, everything would be fine.
Yeah, that's true. Which is why either you have someone. Someone told me who graduated from my C team course, that one of the great advantages of C team is we have an environment of brutal honesty there. what that means is, you know, I'm not going to let you find excuses for yourself. I'm going to really hold you accountable to yourself. And you know, it doesn't have to be me, but either you have to have somebody who will do that for you, or you got to hold yourself accountable. I mean, lots of farmers do. I don't have any question about that. It's really easy. It's really easy to excuse yourself, if you will. Either you do or you don't, I guess, at that point.
Larry, thanks a lot for joining us today. This has been a great discussion on using financial ratios to help you in your farm management, and I really appreciate you joining us.
Good enough. Thank you.
When we were divvying out who was going to host each one of these episodes in Mind Your Farm Business, somehow I volunteered or got stuck with financial ratios. And at the time, I kind of wondered, okay, how do we make financial ratios exciting and educational? And I really think, as I look back on the discussion that I had with Larry, we actually really, really did that. And the whole discussion through this, what he originally said was five, but he kind of came up with six key ratios that farmers or agribusiness people really need to focus on, I think becomes of great, great value, right? So we had current ratio, we had return on equity, we had the gross margin ratio, we had the contribution ratio, operating efficiency ratio, and as well, debt to EBITDA. And we sort of talked about how the role or the potential role that debt to equity would play and why debt to EBITDA potentially has a lot more value for a lot of our listeners. So I really want to thank Larry for joining us today. Larry Martin was a tremendous guest, and I hope that you'll enjoy episode 11, which will be coming out shortly. And if you want to go back and listen to any of the episodes of Mind Your Farm Business, you can go to mindyourfarmbusiness.com to listen to any of the episodes. So once again, thank you to RBC for being the sponsor of Mind Your Farm Business. And once again, thank you to Larry Martin for participating in this episode, and we'll talk again soon.